Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Today is podcast number 71. We're still in Books That Go Together, number 6. So we've been looking at characters and stories that are so big you can't tell their stories in just one novel. We've looked at single characters whose stories span two or three books, like Michael Weber, also known as Nighthawk, or Danny Wilson, the man who can read your subconscious thoughts. And then last week I introduced you to a family, the Warren family, the creation of author Regina Puckett. We met David and Charity in the first book, Concealed in My Heart. In the second book, Songs That I Whisper, we met their daughter, Suzette, and her future husband, Seth Black. The third book of this series, What the Heart Knows, we meet Emily Warren, who, after a night of celebrating with friends, is attacked by a colleague. She's fortunate to escape the rape attempt, but now suffers from terrifying nightmares, although she's too ashamed to tell anyone. Her family suspects something and enlist Bill, an old friend of hers she's not seen for a number of years, to try and find out what's wrong. Under the pretext of a white lie, he invites her out to his farm, where she will have to be careful she doesn't reveal that her attacker is still in contact and threatening to finish what he started. This isn't her biggest secret, though. Bill must never learn that she's loved him since high school. Bill has 2 weeks to find out what is frightening Emily, but must also be careful she doesn't discover how much he loves her. The moment Bill and Emily meet again, there is no denying the love that they have for each other, but unfortunately, outside events soon come between them. They will have to fight for each other if true love is going to conquer all and finally allow them to learn what their hearts already know. That's the third book in the series, What the Heart Knows. It was produced by another narrator, so I don't have any samples of the book to share with you. But that's not true for the fourth book, Love's Great Plan. I have produced this book. It's now available for you to download. It is at audible.com, amazon.com, and it's available in the iTunes store. Links are on my website, narrationbygeorge.com/books. Click on the icon to take you to the page about the book, and you'll have links to take you to the appropriate site to download. This fourth book introduces us to Cody Warren, son of David and Charity. He's an officer in the Murfreesboro Police Department, and as the book opens, Cody is attacked by a neighborhood boy who shoots and wounds Cody. In self-defense, Cody shoots and kills the boy. His wounds place him in the hospital. A mass of red hair and freckles came in from beside the bed and loomed over him. It took several moments of staring at the riot of curls and tangles to figure out that this normally carefully groomed woman was his baby sister. "Emily, what are you doing here?" Then he squinted at her. "New haircut?" Emily patted his hand. "Always the funny guy, aren't you?" She reached up and ran her fingers through her hair, but then let out a frustrated sigh. "I can't do a thing with these crazy curls." She leaned over the bed railing and looked into his eyes. "How are you feeling?" Cody tried to inhale, but then stopped mid-breath when pain shot through his arm and down to his feet. His deep breath turned into a shallow gasp, then a low moan, a sputtered cry, and finally another attempt to take a deep breath, which only began the whole process again. "Did we play touch football again? Last time we played, you tackled me and I was in the hospital with a concussion for 2 days. He could see her protruding belly through the railings of the bed. "No, Mary Elizabeth would never have allowed her mommy to tackle her best uncle." He closed his eyes, trying to remember the events that had landed him in this hospital bed. Something warned Cody that it might be better not to remember. "My shoulder hurts. So whatever the reason is, it has to do with my shoulder." "Yes, it has. But you don't remember what happened late yesterday afternoon?" He closed his eyes again. "I remember." Cody reopened them and focused on Emily's bright green eyes. They were really beautiful eyes. They were like their mother's. Nothing made any sense until he remembered seeing a smiling face at his car window. There had been a teenager looking at him, and Barker had been growling and trying to get out of the car. Emily's face wavered in and out, and then blurred into two. He tried to blink them back into one, but they remained as two. It gave him a headache, so he looked at his bandaged hand instead, but a young man's face appeared, one soaked in blood. Pieces of it exploded away, and Cody closed his eyes to block out the ugly sight, but it didn't work. He drew in a deep breath. "It never happened. It's a really bad nightmare, and I'm going to wake up at any moment. Please, wake me up." He was a police detective. People depended on him to be strong. He couldn't break down. He had been 12 the last time he had cried, and then it hadn't been for himself, but when sport had finally died from old age. Cops didn't cry. They sucked it up and got the job done. They helped other people when they cried. They were strong and dependable. They compartmentalized their feelings, filed them away until there was time for self-examination. Unfortunately, that time seemed to have arrived. The agony collapsed in on his chest, and again he couldn't breathe, so he concentrated on his breathing, finally catching his breath again. When he reopened his eyes, he saw the concern etched on Emily's face. He swallowed, painfully aware there was no saliva in his mouth. He worked his tongue against its roof to ease the discomfort. "I killed him." He closed his eyes again, but vivid images flashed like a faulty movie behind his closed lids. Snapping open his eyes, he had the vague hope the surprised look on the teenager's face would just disappear, but it didn't. It stayed. He was going to kill me. He stood there, smiling at me, as if he was going to chat, but he was holding a gun against the window. It was as if it was something he did every day. He was just a kid, but he was going to kill me. Has the world gone mad? I don't understand. Why? Someone tell me why this has happened. Cody's love interest in this book is Amanda. Cody had helped Amanda when she was thrown out of her home by leasing to her an apartment in his home. She comes to see him in the hospital.
"Do you mind if I come in?"
Amanda had directed the question at Cody, but then looked over at Emily for the answer, entering only after she had nodded. At the bedside, she wrapped her fingers around the railings and gave Cody a quick once-over before finally meeting his eyes. She gave him a serious smile, which then quivered and collapsed. Amanda's large sky-blue eyes had 1,000 questions in them, and he watched as she bit her bottom lip to keep from asking them. He knew she'd have wanted to ask about the shooting, but that she never would until he or Emily mentioned it. It was one of the many things he loved about her. Even though she had never known love as a child, he'd recognized that unique gift in her, accepting it as the wonderful gift it was. She'd remember it, cherish it, and keep it in the safety of her heart, as if it might be the last love she'd ever receive. It was as if each moment was to be saved, like photographs in an album, where they could be flipped through to prove they had really existed. It was sweet, but also sad, knowing how hungry she was for what others took as their due. He himself had taken those moments for granted until he had met her. She had changed him into a better man and shown him not everyone had a loving home life. Every day she reminded him how love was to be shared and not hoarded away, and she loved fiercely and without reserve. "Hey." There was love in her touch as she wrapped her fingers gently around his hand. She clearly worked at sounding unconcerned, but failed miserably. "Don't look so worried. I'm fine." He held up the obscenely wrapped hand. It looks much worse than it really is. Even though a pain shot up his arm, he wiggled his fingers. I can't believe how much tape they used. Think of the waste there must be here every single day. If they use this much on every patient, they must charge by the inch or something. They could have used a single strip of duct tape instead. Good old duct tape can hold anything that needs to be held. The looks on Amanda and Emily's faces were enough to make him finally smile. Emily, you should mention that at the next meeting with the directors and shareholders. Emily giggled. You're kidding, right? Cody widened his eyes and tried to keep from smiling. I think it makes perfect sense. He turned back to Amanda. What do you think about using duct tape? It might also work when the little tabby things on the baby's diapers don't work. Duct tape on the newborn diapers, and problem solved. Amanda plucked at a loose thread on Cody's gown. It was obvious she was torn between crying and smiling. He squeezed her fingers with his own. It's a good idea, right? A single tear escaped down her cheek, but she smiled. It's an outstanding idea. The tear was almost his undoing, but he continued as if he hadn't seen it. You don't have to humor me because I'm wearing an ugly hospital gown. If you think the idea sucks, you should say so. She stopped pulling the loose thread and smiled again, this time with better results. Your idea really does suck, she giggled and sniffled at the same time. How would we ever get the diaper back off? I don't think the new parents would be impressed by us having to cut the diapers off those tiny babies. This is clearly why God gave women the ability to have babies, not gave it to men. The human race might be doomed otherwise. Cody could see there were long smears of blood around the neckline of his faded blue hospital gown and knew he had to look like a mess. But Amanda looked at him like he was the most handsome man in the world. Her expression was so full of love, it stole his breath away. Cody tried to smile, but a sharp pain stopped him short. He took a quick gulp of air and tried to stifle a gasp. The pain in his shoulder took on a life of its own, shooting straight to his head and settling in his eye at the same time as it shot down into the pit of his stomach. Eventually, it reduced to a dull ache, and Cody closed his eyes for a moment, regrouping his strength. When he reopened them, he caught Amanda giving Emily a questioning, worried look. Amanda applied a little more pressure around the bandages. You will be better in no time. You have remarkable healing abilities. I remember the last time I had to rush you to the emergency room when you dislocated your shoulder playing touch football. You were playing one-on-one basketball the next weekend with Jack. If I remember correctly, Jack had tried his best to kill you during the game that landed you here. If you don't go to the emergency room at least once a month, you aren't living hard or fast enough. She took a moment to blink back her tears before adding, "You should take better care of yourself." Cody would have done anything not to be the reason for Amanda's crying. It was his job to make her smile. If you promise me you won't cry, I promise to be more careful in the future, okay? We have a deal? Amanda smiled, but with some trepidation. Deal. Cody tried smiling, but that dead teenager's face again appeared out of nowhere. He squeezed his eyes tight shut to keep the tears from overflowing and prayed the smiling, deformed face would disappear. So now we have the situation set up. Cody is fighting his demons after the shooting of the boy, and the question is, will he allow Amanda to help him? She smiled and gripped his hand to her chest. Are you okay? Cody swallowed and opened his mouth to try to answer, but found he couldn't speak through the tightness in his throat and chest. He blinked back tears and finally closed his eyes so she wouldn't see how close he was to crying. She released his hand, but it soon felt chill with the loss of the warmth of her own. His mind whirled in technicolor, and each scene of the shooting flashed before him in slow-motion clips. He could hear the first gunshot. The smell of charred acid still clung to the insides of his nostrils. He could still feel the bullet enter his shoulder and see the child's face spraying his car window. In the middle of Cody's nightmare, the warmth of Amanda's fingers slipped back through his. Her voice was gentle. "Here, take a sip of water." When he didn't open his eyes, her fingers gripped his hand tighter. "Cody, open your eyes." The railing rattled slightly when she leaned in toward him. She brushed her lips lightly across his fingers. "Please, Cody, open your eyes." With a great effort, he pried them open and looked up into her own now troubled blue ones. He raised his head so she could bring the glass to his lips and gulped on the icy water as if his life depended on it. When it was again empty, he met her eyes once more, expecting to see pity, but instead finding only friendship. "Is that better?" He swallowed and made a movement to nod, but the muscles in his neck tensed. He gritted his teeth together, but it was a heroic effort not to grimace. When he found his voice again, he said, "Thanks. I can't seem to get enough water tonight." He somehow managed a smile and was relieved to get a tentative one in return. "I didn't mean to scare you. I guess I'm starting to get tired. You should go home and get a few hours sleep before you have to come back to work tomorrow. You won't be of any use to those little babies if you don't." "I want to stay with you. I'll sit over there and you won't hear a peep from me. I promise. I want to be here with you."
Her eyes pleaded with him, but he couldn't bring himself to ask her to stay. With the shooting still so fresh in his mind, he couldn't stop the horror from torturing him. He didn't want to drag her into his nightmare. She was too fresh from the horrors of her own family. She didn't need his own fresh horrors. Cody wanted only happiness for Amanda. He didn't see how he could bring her this with a child's death haunting him. Maybe it would be better if he broke things off. She needed someone whole, someone with a clear conscience. And more importantly, she didn't need the media attention that was sure to come. He wasn't the right man for her any longer. And now he knew he had to let her go. She would find someone who would love her like she needed to be loved. But how could he find the strength to do it? He cleared his throat but didn't meet her eyes, only staring at the nightlight by the bathroom door.
"You should go home now. My mom's here, and the rest of the family will probably show up as soon as it turns daylight."
The muscles in his throat were contracting, each breath becoming more difficult, and so he spoke quickly before he couldn't speak at all.
"I'll send Bill over to get Barker. You shouldn't come back. There'll be so many people coming and going in this tiny room. I'll probably be stark raving mad before they finally turn me loose. I'll have Mom call you and let you know my progress. No point you wearing yourself out on my account. I'm sure I'll see you when I get home."
He briefly squeezed her fingers before pulling his own out of the comfort of her hand. He folded his own hand across his chest as if to protect his heart. He darted a look at her before returning to studying the nightlight.
"I'm fine. I'm glad you stopped by."
He closed his eyes to shut out the pain he'd seen in her own. He had to keep in mind why he was doing this, that it was for her own good. He couldn't help but open his eyes again, though, and study her for a moment, to memorize each and every detail of her face. Before he lost his nerve, he hurried on.
"I've been thinking for some time now that we should start seeing other people. This isn't really going anywhere, is it? We're going in two different directions in our lives. I think you needed me for a time after your father and brother's deaths, but you're doing great now in your new job. I think it's time you learn to stand on your own two feet. Get out, socialize, meet new people. I've been trying to protect you for too long now, and it's not done you any favors. People here in town now know you, and they know you're not like the rest of your family. It's time to get out from under my protective wing."
He took in another long breath. "Don't you think?"
Her mouth opened and closed a couple of times before she finally nodded.
"Okay, then," he rushed on. "When Bill comes back tomorrow, I'll send him to your apartment for Barker. Thanks for taking care of him for me, and thanks for stopping by."
She stood by his side for a moment, but then turned and quietly left the room. He watched as the door closed, and at that moment his heart shattered. As the click of the door echoed across the room, he heard his mother's voice say, "What have you just done, Cody?"
So it looks like Cody is sending Amanda off to pursue other relationships. Will they ultimately get back together? Is love's great plan to include Cody and Amanda making a life together? You got to listen to the book to find out. Author Regina Puckett mixes romance with humor and some very touching scenes, as well as some well-drawn characters to weave this fine story. You can find information on how to download the book by going to my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com/books. At the top of the page, you'll find the icons for this week's featured books. Click on the link for Love's Great Plan. You'll find other samples to listen to, as well as links to purchase the book through Audible.com, Amazon.com, and in the iTunes Store. If you're new to Audible, you can sign up for their monthly service to download a book each month. Your first book is free to you, so maybe it can be Love's Great Plan. By the way, all the Warren Family books are being issued as a single volume. The same thing's going to happen with the audiobooks. I'll be producing my own versions of the third and fifth book in this series so that all five books will be available with one voice narrating the book, and it will all be in one volume. That volume will be coming late this year. Well, that's our time for this week's podcast. Join me next week when this podcast is once again brand new. In the meantime, God has blessed you. Share that blessing with someone else.